Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We'll get into the NFL draft coming up at 9:20. Trevor Sikkema, expert for Draft Network, will join us. Talk about what the Redskins might do with that second pick and more. At 9:45, we'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam, which is coming back to Capital One Arena January 25th.
Very good.
So we'll do that at 9:45. But right now, we open up the entertainment page with Mr. Bickle.
Before the first story, Dr. Yeah. Cakes is in. Office hours are open. I'm diagnosing Jason Bishop with either a recurrence of his sinus infection that never went away or a case of the flu. He's got one of the two right now. I'm not sure which.
I was just telling the boys that I feel like I did right before the Christmas show, and it's the exact same way I felt.
You sound good.
Oh, I mean, I feel like, but I didn't finish the antibiotics, which they said finish the bottle, but yeah. I was feeling better, so I stopped it. So I have like six or seven more pills left, and Cake says, no, that's not going to help you. You got to go get a refill.
It might help you, though, because remember last time you took the medicine, you felt better the next day.
I
right?
know. It helped immediately.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it when I get home.
I think I would take it,
but I would also call the doc, and I would just sound like you sound right now and say, can you please just hook me with a refill so I don't have to come in.
But it's my whole body's starting to ache, like a flu-like ache.
Yeah, so that's what I'd be worried
about.
But
this is the exact same way I felt before.
Yeah. It ached. You probably have sinus infection again. Yeah,
but if I recall that terrible. Day of the holiday show, maybe you didn't drink that much. But you went to the Palm that night.
I did. I shouldn't have, but I did. But that was planned a long time ago, and I couldn't cancel.
All right, boys, did you guys have Kevin on yesterday to talk about the Oscar nominations, or you did not?
No, we had him on Friday to talk about like Golden Globes.
So the only one I cared about was, is Adam Sandler going to be nominated? Because one of the few movies I saw in 2019, and I really liked Uncut Gems.
Ugly gem.
We went through it, by the way. Collectively, the show saw 5 out of 9, which is pretty good.
Just because we're cultured.
Mostly covered by Cakes.
That's pretty good. I don't think I saw any of them, but... But Adam Sandler snubbed, and Uncut Gems also snubbed. Now, the Sandler thing, I guess, is more understanding, considering there's only 5 nominees for Best Actor in a Leading Role. But Best Picture, of course, they can nominate as many as 10. I'm not sure they had 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They have 9. Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Marriage Story, Parasite, and 1917.
I saw 3 of those, and they were all pretty good. None of them great, in my opinion.
According to one website that I perused, DR Movie News, the big 2020 Academy Award snubs were The Farewell, Uncut Gems, Dolomite Is My Name, which Adam keeps talking about, Jennifer Lopez and her performance in Hustlers, Best Director, I guess, Greta Gerwig for Little Women, Lupita Nyong'o for Us, William Dafoe for Lighthouse, Frozen 2, and then Apollo 11. So those were a couple of the snubs, the bigger snubs from the Academy Award nominations, which came out yesterday. We talked about The Bachelor and the champagne explosion that was seen around the world now. There have been, 2 episodes of this season's The Bachelor?
Correct. Yes.
What is this where they're talking about where The Bachelor hung up on his ex? Have you told that story yet?
I don't know if I've seen that part. Might have missed that.
Did I see that they're doing another Bachelor spinoff? So there's The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. There's Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
And is there one?
Is there
did you
third?
See this?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was mixing The Bachelor and singing. I'm going to look it up on Google.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it's called Flirty Dancing.
It is called Flirty Dancing. Yeah,
and it looks arctic.
I saw that.
It's not affiliated with The Bachelor. I think it's on a completely different network.
Okay.
JP, it's a waste of breath.
Yeah.
You'll never watch
it.
It's awful.
Because it has to do with dancing. And dancing shows are tripe and garbage and a waste of everybody's time.
I know. I agree.
I think it's a different show. I think
so are dating shows, but you had it on
different
your big
show
screen.
Than what I'm talking about.
I did.
Really? I'm shocked you don't know that Randy Moss's kid plays for LSU.
I saw him catch the touchdown.
But you know
and do the thing where
his middle name.
He points to the back of his jersey. He said it said Moss, right. And I looked at his face. I was like, kind of resemblance. And I saw his pops with an LSU scarf with not the best seats in the Superdome. I thought he'd have better seats.
Yeah.
And I put two and two together.
It's not flirty dancing.
It's not.
The Bachelor, Listen to Your Heart, is a music-themed spinoff of the network's long-running reality franchise.
I have to draw a line in the sand. I will not watch that. I used to say that about Bachelor in Paradise, too, by the way, and I caved.
Chris Harrison, who's the host, right, of The Bachelor?
By the way,
he confirms.
Do you know what he charges for a cameo?
I want to
guess?
It's outrageous.
What, Chris 500? Harrison, 500 for a cameo from Chris Stupid Harrison.
The guy from The Bachelor just wishes somebody happy birthday for a minute, gets $500.
$500, boom, right in his account.
Anyway, this new Bachelor spinoff says it's going to unite two of the most emotionally powerful forces in human life, music and love.
I mean, it doesn't sound like
it's
something I'd be into.
The Bachelor. Contestants will be talented musicians and people whose lives and work revolve around music. So think of all the people that have been on The Bachelor that show up with like a guitar or something like that. They're going to use all those.
It's always a solid move. Like if a guy brings a guitar, generally works.
You're boring everybody in D.C.
Cakes, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Including your co-host.
Is in the news. You know, we constantly talk about this stupid Goop website. I'm going to have to go to this website.
This is clearly a Valdez story because he was desperate for me to do it. When you were gone, driving to Poughkeepsie.
Oh, so you saw the story.
Well, for whatever reason, the EP got bypassed.
You know, she's going to have a series on Netflix, too.
About the website or just about her life?
Well, it's like all of these different
products
that she has and like different lifestyle activities for people.
You know what? She comes off as holier than thou and is smarter than everybody. You know what? She wasn't smart enough to not get her head cut off at 7 and have it put in a box and sent out to the middle of the desert. So I don't think she's that smart, personally.
Well, anyway. I lost track. Was she married to Brad Pitt?
In real life?
Yes.
I think they just dated.
I think they dated, yeah. She was definitely married to him in 7.
Yeah,
100%.
But anyway, we have a weird fascination with her website because of all the weird. Like she sold like a vagina egg,
right?
And she sells all these weird things, and it's for thousands of
I've
dollars.
I've never been to Goop. Say that no, it's a made up word.
It's not even
the implication.
Oh,
come on,
implication, schmiplication.
Well, anyway, they now are selling a candle that they say I don't know how to say it without being too. Descriptive, but it smells like her private part.
Yeah, it smells like her silly.
So they're selling candles now that smell like not just her, but an average silly.
You know what? I'd rather have
would
one
you want a candle
like
of that?
Ocean breeze.
Yeah, I'd rather
would
have
you want a lavender. Yeah.
Would
you want a candle of that in your kitchen?
You know what? Sugar cookie. Much better.
Is that the way it smells? Yeah.
They say.
All of them smell like sugar cookie.
Right. Some of them, it's awful.
Yeah.
They say.
I wouldn't know that. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, right. Me too.
How about a pumpkin scented candle? I'm all about that.
They say they're working on a fragrance, and she said, oh, my God, this smells like a blank. But they evolved it into a funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautifully unexpected scent, Cakes. And you can get one for $72.
No, I can't because I'll go to TJ Silly's and buy a candle for $9.
Right.
And it doesn't smell like Gwyneth Paltrow.
What kind of candles do we have here? Jason, you've got two candles behind you.
Sleigh ride.
Okay.
Right. Can we order one of her candles?
I'm sorry.
Can we just have one in the show?
You know what? Bill Entercom for it, too. I'm not paying $75
for
that.
Sleigh ride and what else?
Sunset at the beach.
And there's another one right there.
I'm desperate to do that.
Holiday hearth.
Right.
Hearth.
Holiday. Not hearth.
Hearth. That's one of the worst.
What's the hearth? Hearth. Whatever.
You know what? He's sick. I'll give him a pass.
Yeah.
Your brain is fried. Are you having a fever? Do you have a fever?
I don't know, but.
Holiday.
You look kind of red.
All right, guys. Cakes. Life goes on. Even those in the middle of the college admission scandal. Sophia Macy, the daughter of Felicity Huffman and what's the
William H. Macy
apparently has scored an appearance in an episode of Twilight Zone after the scandal. So even though she's only 19 years old, she was at the
Twilight Zone. Good luck finding that on TV.
No, I think Twilight Jordan Zone Peele is only on CBS All Access, their streaming platform.
Yeah. So I said, good luck finding it.
She's going to star in an episode titled Among the Untrodden, whatever that means. And they say she's co-starring with another young actress. It is, again, you could see it on the streaming service. She, of course, was at the center of the scandal where her parents paid $15,000 to have a test proctor correct her daughter's hurting SAT answers.
What? Not paying $7 a month for CBS All Access to see hurting Twilight Zone. I didn't watch that when it was 40 years old, 30 years ago. I don't know if that math works.
You guys saw the reports of Tony Romo.
He's about to get paid.
He is a free agent in the broadcasting world coming up. They're saying that ESPN is preparing to make him an offer that would pay between $10 to $14 million annually.
What was he making at CBS? Six?
He's currently employed at CBS. I don't know. I can't see it right now. I don't know the
probably
number.
4 to 6.
But ESPN needs to drastically upgrade their package, they're saying. As far as the ratings go, the ratings were up for all four broadcasters, but ESPN was in last. NBC, I guess, averaged 20.5 million, Fox 19.2, CBS 17.2, and ESPN way down at 12.6 million. Because, I mean, look, the games have a lot to do with it, but that broadcasting team is boring.
I don't think the broadcasting team has anything to do with the
ratings.
Are they
talking about keeping Tessitore? It'll be Tessitore and Romo?
I'm not sure Tessitore will be there either.
I don't think anybody's tuning in for
the
broadcast.
If I were running ESPN...
I like Tony Romo, but nobody's... Tony Romo's not going to draw more people to ESPN. The reason why ESPN has the lower ratings is their games aren't on Sunday afternoons. So CBS, all those have better time slots.
No, the NBCs are Sunday night, right?
True.
Sunday night for NBC.
And but it's a network.
True, it is.
People are unplugging now.
Did you see the ratings for the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time?
No, what happened with that? Is it over?
No, it's back up tonight. Ken Jennings has two games. James Holzhauer has one game, and then Brad Rutter has zero.
He is zippy. So he's just getting smoked.
He's out of his league. Yeah, but if Ken wins tonight, then it's all over.
Right.
Does he get $1 million grand prize if he wins?
I don't know what second and third get.
But. I mean, the games are close, though, right? The one time he only lost by a couple G's hundred.
They're pretty close. Ken's obviously just as smart as James, but he's better on the buzzer.
Is he?
Yeah, he's definitely better on the buzzer.
Who's missed more questions?
Brad.
Brad a joke?
No, he's smart, but he's definitely botching it on his daily doubles. He's whiffing on all of the daily doubles.
Right.
Can't afford to do that, EB.
But the ratings were, they had 16 million people after DVR.
That's huge. That's like the NFL. That's more than what ESPN got for their Monday night football games. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, we're going to talk some NFL draft coming up next. Trevor Sikkema covers the NFL draft for the Draft Network. We'll get into Chase Young, what the Redskins might do, and more here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well. If you missed it, the Capitals breaking news, which broke, I guess, about an hour ago. Nicholas Backstrom has signed a 5-year contract extension for $46 million.
That's right. Seems like a bargain, to be honest with you.
He's closing out his 10-year, $67 million deal. He throws another $46 million on the pile now.
I mean, I know he didn't hire an agent, but he might have saved himself $1 million. Probably would have been worth it to hire the agent.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, I think he got a pretty nice deal. Yeah. Yeah. Seems like a deal.
He's got FU money.
Yeah. I think they got him cheap.
All right, we're going to turn to the NFL draft. Trevor Sikkema is an NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network. He joins us after, of course, the national championship game last night. We were kicking this around earlier, Trevor. How many pros were on that field last night?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, great to be with you guys. Second of all, countless. I mean, that was one of the first things that I thought of really after the first couple of drives for each team. Is we're watching two NFL future NFL rosters. The speed at which these guys played last night was absolutely incredible. I know a lot of people will say that Ohio State certainly deserved to be a national championship contender, but it is hard to watch what we watched last night and think that the college football playoff didn't do its job and that we got the two best teams in college football playing against each other in the last game. Because whether it was Clemson's defense with the speed of Isaiah Simmons, who, holy cow, talk about a guy who took a leap this year and might have jumped all the way into the top five for a linebacker, which is sometimes unheard of, whether it was him on Clemson's side or what LSU was doing on offense with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. You know, you flip sides, obviously, to Trevor Etienne, all the wide receiver weapons that Clemson had, and then the secondary of LSU, Derek Stingley, Christian Fulton, Grant Delpit. No matter where you were, no matter what the result of a play was, a future NFL player was probably making that play or that stop on one way or the other for both teams.
And so we all recognize Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick by Cincinnati. A couple of us, though, were just hesitant because, you know, last year he wasn't well-regarded. If he came out of the NFL draft last year, who knows, fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick? And then he's so good, you just wonder if it's a product of the system or is Joe Burrow just that good?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the big question with everybody, because you've looked at a lot of one-year wonders before, but often you go back to Mitch Trubisky, right? He was an underclassman for the one-year wonder. I mean, he was a junior, but it was his first year starting, and he was an underclassman. Here we have kind of a journeyman, you know, a transfer guy, a guy who went to LSU because they were the team that was going to give him a chance to be a starter. I watched Joe Burrow plenty in 2018, and I wasn't impressed. I mean, he was fine, but like you just said there, he would have been a day three pick if he went into the draft last year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And now we truly just watched one of the best college football seasons of all time from a quarterback. And so you wonder what it is. And where I do want to say that, obviously, you got to keep context in it. You know, he's got NFL weapons all over him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Thaddeus Moss. We're going to see all of those players in the NFL. You're going to see a handful of them from their offensive line, too. And the most important part, probably Joe Brady, who's, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting he's in the NFL next year because of what he was able to do, because you know where he got his knowledge from with Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. All of those things are NFL caliber. But I wouldn't let that take you away from too much of what Joe Burrow did. The ball was still in his hand. That accuracy, those touch passes, those passes and shots deep down the field, that fearlessness, that confidence, that was still all Joe Burrow. Yeah. That wasn't his teammates. He was still doing what he needed to do to get that ball where it needed to go better than anybody in the country could. And so I definitely hear you. It's a little bit of something that gives you some reservation. It'll always be in the back of your mind, but the way this kid had confidence pushing the ball down the field, you've got to be able to think you can give everything to that in an NFL offense.
Trevor, I agree. I mean, I think that's the best season we've ever seen from a college quarterback. And coming into this year, Trevor Lawrence was obviously rated much higher than Burrow. I mean, there was a clear gap, all right, based on what Trevor did in his true freshman year. Now, Burrow is about 4 years older now than Trevor Lawrence, but how much has the gap tightened up, or do you have Burrow rated higher? In other words, if Lawrence was coming out of the draft this year, would Lawrence go one to Cincinnati, or would Burrow still be ranked higher than Lawrence at quarterback?
Oh, man. Now, that is a great question. I think these two guys are neck and neck. And if you ask me who I think would probably go number one, I probably still think it would be Joe Burrow, just because you cannot deny what this season was. You really can't. But that's a fantastic question. I mean, we've got people here this morning talking about, all right, you know, the number one pick conversation, is Joe Burrow the number one overall pick? You know, that's long gone. That's in the past at this point. Now we're basically talking about, is he the best quarterback prospect since blank? And a lot of people are coming up with Andrew Luck. They're saying, hey, you guys remember Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford. Oh, yeah. This is the most surefire all-pro quarterback you could possibly name. Joe Burrow's season this year was better than any season that Andrew Luck had when he was at Stanford, and that's saying a lot. And so I do think that the question is very interesting of who would have gone number one between Trevor and Joe Burrow if they were both eligible. I still think it would have been Burrow going number one overall, but, man, that would be a that'd be a fun debate if both of them were draft eligible. For Trevor, man, you know, he's got another year left for him, and it's crazy how early this guy peaked and how early he showed us just how good he can be. People cooled on him a little bit this year because Clemson was a little bit down to start the year, but he certainly showed us throughout the second half of the season that coming into next year, this guy will be slotted in number one for all of those way too early mock drafts for the following season.
Well, obviously Tua's coming out and injury playing a factor and all that. Where does he fit in now? Because everybody was tanking for Tua to start the season, and now he's kind of slid off people's radar a bit.
Yeah, if you ask me, I still think Tua is going to be a top 10 pick. I really do. With him coming out, the only reason that I could have seen for him returning to Alabama was if he was going to fail combine medicals. That's the only way that I could have seen that would have made sense for him to not leave, is if he was going to really fail those medical tests, which would have been a big deal, whether it be for that hip or whatever it's been, because his injury history is not great. You know, surgery on both ankles already. He's missed time with that. You wonder if it's a chronic thing, if it's always going to be something that he deals with. We know that some guys just have lingering injuries, whether it's ankles or wrists or whatever it is, wherever there's a joint socket, we know that sometimes these guys could just have injuries that never heal. So not only the ankles, but obviously the hip injury as well. I've got to think that NFL GMs, when they talked to him, told him, you're going to be a top 10 pick anyways. As long as everything checks out, as long as you are progressing the way that the doctors are saying you're progressing with those injuries, you're going to be a top 10 pick. And I think that's the truth, because when it comes down to what this guy's done on the field, very few quarterbacks have ever been this aggressive and this efficient than what we've seen from Tua over the last 10 years. And even if a team were to say, hey, we're redshirting Tua for his first year in the NFL, giving him the whole year off, letting him heal, you know, almost like a similar situation to what we saw with Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame coming out. We were told that this guy may never play again, right? Here he is now having an all-pro and almost a Pro Bowl kind of a year. And if you give Tua that situation, I still think it's going to be worth it. Even if his first snap in the NFL was as a fully healthy quarterback in 2021, a year from now, he's 23 years old when he's a starter. I'll take that every time, knowing what I'm getting with Tua.
Joined by Trevor Sikkema. He's an NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network. So the Redskins have the number two pick, and most fans here in D.C. want the Redskins to select Chase Young. Talk to us about what Chase Young brings to the table. If you look at his last two games, I was just looking at his game log against Wisconsin and then against Clemson. He was sackless. What did you see in those final two games? Does it worry you at all?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't blame Redskin fans for wanting Chase Young. He is an incredible talent. He really is. And I'll tell you something about those last couple of games. He was triple-teamed, man. You can put on the tape and you can almost go anywhere you want, first, second, third, fourth quarter. Wisconsin and who they were playing down the stretch, they went, we're not going to get beat by this guy. Somebody else beat us. He saw more attention than I've seen for a college defensive end in a long, long time. They were occupying at least two offensive linemen to his side, sometimes even putting a running back over there to chip block and then getting him a triple team as well. And so that's really why you don't see the stats. And even through that, I thought he was still disruptive in as much attention as they were getting. So, you know, for the Redskins, with them moving on to a different kind of philosophy with Roddenberry obviously at the helm, they've got Jack Del Rio as well. More of a 4-3 guy. They'll need more of a hand-in-the-dirt kind of run, like an edge setter. You know, not just a pass rusher, but they're going to need a guy because of the four-down lineman that's able to put his hand in the dirt, really defend the run as much as rush the passer. Chase Young's the whole package, man. He is just the whole package when you're looking for something like that. And even though I would tell you that edge is not the biggest hole or need for that Washington team, when you look at the kind of player that Chase Young is, a lot of fans like picking best player available. At number two after Joe Burrow, this guy is clear-cut the best player available. And so when it comes to, how he did down the stretch, please don't worry too much about that. I promise you, the guy was getting double and triple teamed more than anybody that I can count. He is still absolutely a stud and worth that number two overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, in the Big Ten championship, when they held him sackless, that clearly was related to the fact that they played him like 3 weeks earlier in the regular season, and he wrecked Wisconsin.
He had four sacks in the first matchup.
So that's exactly what happened. They said, all right, we're not going to let him just ruin our offense again, and that's why they triple-teamed him. So that was a smart move. So beyond those two guys, give me three or four names that you think will be surefire top five, top six type players. Andrew Thomas, legit tackle from Georgia. He's got to be up there. Jeff Okuda, stud corner from Ohio State. I'm sure he'll be a top six or seven pick. But give us a few more names that you really like at that top.
You're naming all my names out here before I get to popping. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm messing with you. I think Isaiah Simmons did a really great job earning some money for himself, the linebacker from Clemson last night. Showed that he is a true mismatch neutralizing kind of a player. You know, in a day and age where we're seeing all kinds of slot creativity, whether it's with shorter, quick guys, putting your number one receiver in the slot, putting a big tight end in the slot, whatever it is, offensive has been using the slot position to make it their X factor, to give them an advantage over the defense for years. I think Isaiah Simmons is a true rare player who can kind of neutralize that. Jeffrey Okuda, like you said there, CB1, he's got the length, he's got the speed, he's got the mentality, he got the ball skills. He's everything that you would want in a shutdown corner. I really do believe that. And he's young, too. You know, he's got a lot of development ahead of him. I think the sky's the limit for a guy like that. In terms of the offensive line, you named one that I really like there, Andrew Thomas. I think he's the whole package. I do. Size, quickness, I think he's got good work with his feet. He's so smooth for how strong he is, whether it is against the run or dropping back to pass, getting in vertical sets all the way down and forming a pocket. I think he's really suitable for that. Jedrick Wills is another offensive tackle from Alabama. Played primarily right tackle for Alabama over the last 3 years, but make no mistake, that's no knock on this guy for not being a left tackle. He is very talented, extremely strong, and he's a guy that's flying up draft boards as well. Of course, on the offensive side, you know, you can't talk about offensive weapons without talking about Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, or CeeDee Lamb. I've talked to so many different draft analysts and even people within NFL circles who it seems like every time I ask them about those top three receivers, they give me a different answer for who is wide receiver one in this class. So, ton of talent for Washington at number two. And, hey, this could also mean because of how many good guys there are at the top of this class, perhaps they are a team that maybe moves down one or two spots, maybe a little bit, pick up a couple of other picks and still get a really great player. That could absolutely be in the cards for Washington just because of how talented this draft class is at the top.
Where do you see T. Higgins at the receiver position? I love T. Higgins. Love the size, love the hands. He's not as fast as those other guys you mentioned, but I just think he's going to be a stud with the right team.
Yeah, so going into the year, I was kind of hesitant on T. Higgins. I really was, because we're looking at an NFL age where a lot of offensive coordinators and offensive play callers, they focus a lot of what they call and the types of plays that they want to execute on separation with wide receivers, creating those natural separation throwing windows. T. Higgins doesn't separate real well. You talked about there, he's not the greatest athlete. He's not super fluid. Flexibility is a little bit questionable with him, but for what he does well, being big, extending those arms, catching through traffic, being a big red zone, money down, third down kind of a target, he is legit at that. And so if that is what your team is really missing, I got no problem with that guy going in the back end of the first round. Now, if you're building an offense around him, I'm a little bit hesitant. I've got to see what he runs in the 40. I got to see his agility drills too, but I'd be hesitant there. But as a complimentary piece, if he's your big man in that offense, yeah, he could really help you out. I think that he's great at big boy and guys.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to blow you away in the 40, but he showed some speed last night on the end around.
He did. You know, you're right.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I just think he's a stud. I love the way he plays. Anyway, all right, Trevor, appreciate the time, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, guys, anytime.
All right. We'll do this a few more times as we get closer and closer to the draft.
That's Trevor Sikkema.
By the way,
draft
his description
expert for the Draft Network.
His description of Higgins, who you said you love, sounded a lot like the description of Josh Doctson. I wouldn't want any part of it. He's big.
Yeah, it's not a good comp.
Not really much separation.
Yeah. But you want to stay away from those guys.
Clemson receivers usually do pretty well in the next level. Yeah. So I just think he's, I'm not saying he's a top 10 pick, but I would certainly look at him in the first couple of rounds.
feel better about Chase Young just based on what he said. Look, I didn't watch him closely, but just looking at the numbers is like, well, why didn't he get a sack his last two games against Clemson and Wisconsin?
That's the reason.
Well, and they completely game plan against you and take you out of the equation. That's why.
Yeah. Yep.
Do most people still have Justin Herbert going in the top 10 or no? Is that just sort of dependent on the mock that you look at?
Probably depends on the mock, but I would assume he goes top 10, yeah.
I've seen him anywhere from like 6 to like 12.
Some desperate teams for quarterbacks, right?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, if you're Miami and you're not taking Tua, you're probably looking at Herbert.
And you're looking at quarterbacks. Like last year, 13 quarterbacks were drafted. Trace was the last one.
Correct.
Or actually 11. Trace was the last one. But some years there have been as many as 15. Some years have been few as 7.
Yeah.
But really, when you look back at it, the most sure thing, because I don't think you can say Kyler was a sure thing because there's a question mark. I don't think you can say Baker was a sure thing. It was a question mark. Mitch Trubisky, far from a sure thing. Jared Goff, far from a sure thing, even still. Winston, far from a sure thing. Bortles, far from a sure thing. E.J. Manuel, really the only sure thing was luck, I'd say. Like, where you just knew he was a home run.
Yep. That's what Trevor Lawrence seems like to me, and I guess he's saying Joe Burrow. I mean, it's hard to believe that Joe Burrow will be unsuccessful with how great he was this year.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought that Jameis Winston would be uber successful,
too. I did, too.
I thought he'd be good.
I thought he'd be
good.
For sure.
Hey.
Maybe not as – I probably wouldn't rank him as high as I did Luck.
He did lead the league in passing yards.
That's true. But I didn't
think – He threw 30 picks.
But
still.
Honestly,
I didn't think he would struggle throwing the ball to the other team.
In the last 20 years,
as much as he does.
In terms of, like, sure things, I mean – did we all think Matthew Stafford was a sure thing? We knew he was good, and he went 1-1, but Matt Ryan didn't even go 1-1, did he?
1-2, I think.
Maybe he did.
All right, now
he was number one.
No, he was the third pick.
Yeah, if you want to chime in on that, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Keep it here.
Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're going to hook up caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You'll score a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam at Capital One Arena January 25th. Plus, you win a prize pack as well. Tickets are on sale now. Go to thefandc.com for details. Call in to win.
You're kind of lost in the news of Nicholas Backstrom signing the five-year deal for $46 million. And we did have a little conversation about the Caps getting the win was that Ovi passed Teemu Selanne last night for 11th most goals in NHL history. And he's about to pass, I think he's about to pass.
He's four away from Mario.
Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
And I think right after that, there's somebody else just passing like some of the best all-time.
How old was Mario when he retired?
Not sure. Yeah, but now he's passing the biggest names in the game.
Yes.
Huh.
He's taking those dudes down.
Let me see.
Which I like.
Lemieux was 40 when he retired, but he was hurt there and got sick, right?
Yeah.
Missed some time there towards the end.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. Missed that one whole season. I don't know if he had retired. Can't remember what. Was that when he had the illness? I can't even remember what happened.
But anyway, two more goals for Ovi. He hasn't slowed down at all. Like, you keep waiting every year. There's going to be a year when he slows down, and he hasn't at all.
All right, real quick, I want to go to Nick in Charlotte. He thinks Drab is lying about his pant size.
How does this even come up?
Yeah. Has Drab talked about his pant size?
I don't know. Drabby, do you claim a certain pant size?
Well, I didn't remember this at all. Hey, all right, take us off Bluetooth, Rick.
All right. Yeah. Put him on hold.
Hold on.
Yeah, let's set this up because I don't remember Drab talking about his pant size.
I think it was just a throwaway line. I don't remember what
it was.
Oh, it was
a little white cakes lie? Did you pull a cakes lie?
I said on the air that I 34-32, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
This guy thinks that I'm lying. He thinks I'm bigger than
Why?
That. I don't know.
That's exactly what I wear, 34-32.
Larry, what's up? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Rick?
No, it's Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Nick.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Why do you think Drab is lying?
Well, we're talking about a man who can't even bring himself to take his shirt off when he makes love to his wife.
Right.
So I don't think there's any way he's fitting that doughy torso.
All right, pull your pants down right now and have Adam check your pant, your size. Go ahead, pull it down.
But just because I lack self-confidence doesn't mean I'm a big fatty.
Yeah.
By the way, that's
probably partly due to it.
He can fit that. He's not he's not a fatty. He might be soft.
You might be a skinny fat guy.
It doesn't matter. I stand. Check my size.
Adam, go over there. Get. I know you want to be near his
pants. Check.
Yeah, you've always wanted to pull his pants down.
Yeah, probably now's your opportunity.
This is your big dream.
You think it's the first time?
First, I don't know.
Adam's used to his front button.
All right, I got to take my pants off.
All right, take your pants off.
Adam, just a tag on the back. No,
Adam, can
no
you take
size.
His pants off? At Drab, let Adam take your pants off.
Without your hands.
Come on, let Adam. Go ahead. Go ahead, Adam. Take his pants off.
You want me to pull down
yes,
his zipper?
Yes,
you know you want to.
Go, Adam.
I do know a radio guy.
My hands don't want to do it.
Just go do it. Just do it for the show.
I do know a radio guy who used to lie about the waist size. And there was an out, but he weighed probably 60 pounds more.
Oh. Well, he wore it way below his belly.
He's now taking his pants down.
What's going on over there?
He's beat red.
He pulled him down. I've never seen anyone so psyched to pull
down
him down.
Did he pull his boxers too? Down?
Almost.
Yeah. All right. So what is the size, Adam?
It doesn't say. What kind of pants are you buying?
Yeah. Put your pants off, Drab.
All right. Oh, his pants are fully off now.
What kind of jeans are they?
They look like some sort of. Looks like some sort of corduroy.
Look at this stain on his butt.
Oh, that's so hard.
It's not a stain. They're just worn out.
All right,
they are
give
very
him the,
worn.
Give him the Valdez. Because you're not.
You see a tag
Valdez,
somewhere.
You could find a tag. You're more cultured than that kid.
I do know for a fact that since I've lost weight.
This is Matt Valdez.
Both the guys in this room have gotten bigger.
Oh, really?
Valdez, can you find anything that says waist size?
You got nothing?
Yeah.
34. Staring at it right now.
There you go. Nick, there you go. 34.
Proof. Nice try,
scientific
Nick.
Proof,
I hope,
Nick.
I hope that button's tied on there pretty tight. There's a lot of torque on it, I bet.
By the way, look how faded these things are. The crotch.
I've been trying to find a new pair.
That's what happens when you're house poor. You don't buy new jeans.
Look at these things.
That's true. He is a new home.
You got to cut corners somewhere. And for Drab, it's pants.
Let's go real quick to Larry in Waldorf. Hey, Larry, what's up, man? You're all the jokes.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm one of those fans that feels that the Redskins should trade their pick. With Tua and Chase Young sitting out there, it's going to be far more easier to trade down than in previous years. It's going to be far more easier to reap more draft choices.
Far more easier.
Just far easier. Why are you saying more? Just take out more.
Or a lot of people just say a lot easier.
Yeah. Just say far easier or just easier.
So you want them
okay,
to trade
well,
down.
How
far are you willing for them to trade down? Like, would you be willing for them to trade down to the 10th pick in the first round?
Absolutely. Reap as many draft choices as you can for this pick. Look at San Francisco. We don't know three-quarters of that team, and yet they're probably the best team in the NFC
but they
right
also
now.
Drafted
we need to
Bosa.
Fill holes.
They also drafted Bosa with the number two pick, a difference-maker pass rusher like a Chase Young.
That's true, but the last two or three years when they were lousy, they were picking up as many draft choices as they could to fill all the necessary holes on the team. They're a no-name team that you can't recognize anybody other than players, and yet they're probably the finest team in the
NFL
right now.
I'm not saying they didn't draft well, but what I would say about San Francisco, yes, maybe they did some trading down and acquired picks. They got Bosa with the number two pick, and they got Jimmy G via trade. That's right. What changed the trajectory of that team.
Well, that was
they
the biggest
drafted
move.
A stud quarterback.
That was the biggest move.
I mean, acquired.
Yeah, maybe you trade down though, get a left tackle, protect Haskins.
Well, you certainly if you can't get Trent Williams,
maybe
Trent,
one
though.
Other guy.
Got Trent EB.
Yeah, I know.
That's no guarantee.
They got fired the trainer.
I feel like push comes to shove, he's coming back. If you bet me right now,
must have make that money back.
I'm going to say he's coming back.
He punted $12.5 million away. He's coming back the next year. You know
by
that.
By the way, Terps, big one in Madison tonight. I don't think the Terps have won a true road game
They've
yet.
Struggled on the road, yeah.
Yep,
it's an important game for them.
They look lifeless against Iowa, so hopefully they win this.
All right, got to get out of here for Bish, Cake, CB. I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, coming up next right here on The Fan.